The Haines Assembly denies a tax exemption for the new Veterans Village. And early voting begins with a brisk turnout in the Upper Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly last week decided not to go ahead with giving a tax exemption to the Sobeloff-McRae Veterans Village while the borough works on its policy and code regarding tax exemptions. The Veterans Village includes 11 apartments on its second floor. The yet-to-be-completed ground floor will house several community organizations. The apartments are available to any veteran or veteran's spouse. But that definition is too broad for the borough to exempt the apartments from property tax, according to borough manager Dave Sosa. At last Tuesday's assembly meeting, Sosa detailed the discussions he's had with Haines Assisted Living, the organization that manages the Veterans Village, and with the borough attorney. There are several local organizations that have a community purpose exemption, including the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds, the Parade Grounds, and the Haines Animal Rescue Kennel. Sosa noted the borough does not clearly define community use in the requirements for community purpose exemption, but there are standards used by the state and courts and other communities to determine eligibility for an exemption. Those criteria include serving elderly or retired residents, people below a certain income level, a disabled status, or an abuse victim requiring safe and affordable housing. Sosa said he's been in discussion with the Haines Assisted Living Board of Directors, who set the criteria for the Veterans Village. He said all the residents currently living in the apartments do fall under the income, age, or disability requirements generally accepted for an exemption, but the Board of Directors will not change their guidelines to say the organization will only serve veterans with those criteria. Sosa says because of the loose definition of community purpose in the current code, he would like to refine policy and code to be more explicit. He also noted that organizations currently receiving an exemption do not have to reapply or verify. They still qualify for one each year. And if the borough and assembly does revamp the guidelines, the Veterans Village won't likely qualify. Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott asked Sosa if it was illegal to allow the Veterans Village an exemption, and Sosa said no, but he said it would go against his recommendation and the borough attorney's recommendation and not conform to guidelines widely used for property tax exemptions. Several assembly members agreed with Sosa. George Campbell said the Veterans Village was given the opportunity to change its criteria and chose not to. Jerry Lapp said without more strict criteria for who the organization serves, the apartment units would be competing at an unfair advantage with other apartment complexes in town. Haines Assisted Living Director Vince Hansen told the assembly the current tax bill for the Veterans Village totals just over $5,000, although he did not know if that is based on a final evaluation on the recently completed building. He said if the apartments are not exempt, each apartment would be responsible for $468 a year in property tax, a burden many of the current residents could not afford, he said. Mayor Scott noted the organization likely wants to clear up the exemption question before the end of the year, because whatever tax status the building has on December 31st will determine how it is taxed for the next year. But if policy and code changes are required, there are not enough assembly meetings between now and the end of the year to get any changes done. The assembly instead voted to postpone the ordinance until after a new community purpose exemption policy is drafted and approved by the assembly. Then the assembly will have to approve a code change, and likely all the organizations that currently have an exemption will have to reapply for it under the new policy. The Sobeloff-McRae Veterans Village was funded with about $6.1 million in state funding. Another $300,000 was raised through fundraising to finish the apartments. About $700,000 is needed to complete the ground level. Early voting began Monday in Skagway and Haines for the November 4th general election, and voting is brisk so far. 44 people had voted in Haines on the first day, and that number had reached 50 by Tuesday afternoon. Early voting is available for Haines registered voters at the borough offices weekdays from 9 to 5 through November 3rd. Skagway residents can vote early at City Hall between 8 and 5 until November 3rd. 19 voters have already taken advantage of early voting there. The oldest Native rights organization in the nation elected a new leader while holding Grand Camp in Petersburg last week. Angela Denning has more.
The Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood wrapped up its annual Grand Camp convention Sunday, but not before electing new officers. Eric Morrison of Sitka was chosen as the new ANB Grand President.
Well, hopefully we'll get Grand Camp back on its feet and healthy and alive and invigorated.
Morrison says there are a lot of issues facing ANB and ANS.
We need to get our trust fund worked on. We've obviously got some major issues with subsistence, health, education, and the like that we want to work on and get resolved and start working on, not only on the state level, but on a national level of issues like electrical and heating and oil that are important to the villages.
He says his first priority during his one-year term is to get a nonprofit status for the sisterhood. The brotherhood has been tax-exempt since 1946. Another issue he'd like to address is the empty chairs at the annual conventions. He'd like to help delegates from the camps attend the meetings.
Obviously, there's a big issue with the cost of that goes on to just living in the village, and we're looking for ways to support them, obviously. And we're going to work with any of them that ask for our assistance and making sure we get them there next year.
As new ANB Grand President, Morrison is taking the place of William Martin of Cake, who held the seat for 2 years. Martin, who is 71 years old, jokingly says he's too old to run for another term.
I feel like I'd like to just sit and watch TV and eat chocolates, but, you know, once you're retired, they find out and you get to do all kinds of things, and you do it for free. So I've been tempted to go back to work and rest up.
In all seriousness, Martin says he'll remain involved with the organization. He agrees with Morrison's priority of getting the sisterhood's nonprofit status moving forward.
I would like to make sure that we're all totally equal, because there's always been a difference between ANB and ANS. ANS was just considered an auxiliary hand to the ANB. But in all of these years, ANS has always been the backbone for the organization.
ANS Grand President remains the same. Frieda Westman was reelected by unanimous consent. From the podium, she told delegates she will continue to work for them.
There's important work to do here, and this is history that is being made here.
Next year marks the 100th anniversary of the formation of the Alaska Native Sisterhood. It will be celebrated in Wrangell, where the 2015 ANB-ANS Grand Camp Convention will take place. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Juneau provides a sort of harbor away from home for many Haines and Skagway sport and commercial fishermen. So many local residents may have seen the work going on at Aurora Harbor, where rows of boat slips sit empty as an excavator rips open the asphalt to expose the pipes below. It's part of a Juneau Docks and Harbors project to replace the aging southern section's docks and walkways. KTOO's Kayla DeRouche has more.
The dock replacement project at Aurora Harbor began October 1st. Eric Shaw is deputy port engineer and oversees construction. He says that it's the right time for an update.
It was built by the state back in the 60s, so it's outlived its useful life. We are seeing floats that are sinking, floats that are twisting. So we are replacing about the southern third of the entire harbor. So it'll be demolished here soon, and new floats will be installed, and boats will move back in the spring.
And they will make more changes by the end of May, the expected wrap-up date.
We have a new water system going in, upgraded electrical. There is going to be a new all-season sewage pump-out facility. We want to have good, clean water and good, clean services in the harbor. So we're going to have a facility that will allow liveaboards as well as transient or moving vessels.
The $10 million project is being paid for from three sources.
There's a grant from the state. There's some fund balance, some money that Docks and Harbors has saved in anticipation of this. And then there's some sales tax money that's paying for this as well.
That's 1% sales tax money Juneau voters approved in 2012. David Borg is the harbor master. He says construction displaced about 134 boats, including a handful of liveaboards. They were moved to Harris Harbor, Douglas Harbor, or the other end of Aurora. Docks and Harbors hopes to also repair the Northern Aurora docks if the money becomes available. In Juneau, I'm Kayla Jaroche.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Angela Denning and Kayla DeRoche for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clekwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.